This is Adam Kuntz reading Thomas Pynchon's Vineland, pages 319 through 322. Idealistic flower children looking to live in harmony with the earth were not the only folks with their eyes on Vineland. Developers in and out of state had also discovered this shoreline in the way of the wind, with its concealed tranquillities and false passages, the surprise fish trap and the everyday coast, all born to be suburbs in their opinion, and the sooner the better. It meant work, but too much of it non-union and bought shamefully cheap. Zoid's relations with the Traverses he did get in touch with were complicated by his scab activities, though Zoid would have preferred independent contractor. These were old, proud, and strong union people, surviving in one of the world's worst anti-union environments. Spool tenders, zooglers, water bucks, and bull punchers, some had fought in the Everett Mill Wars, others from the Becker side had personally known Joe Hill, and not mourned and organized. And if they were allowing in over their door sills from time to time non-union odd-jobbing Zoid, it was only out of sympathy for his hair and lifestyle, which they blamed on his mental disability, and love for their distant relative Prairie, who as a true Traverse would piss on through despite her father's shortcomings just fine. Zoid didn't get points either for the divorce, though if he had custody and nobody'd seen Farnese for years, it didn't make her look much better. Sasha's cousin Claire, credited in the family with paranormal abilities, quickly enough read Zoid, noted the unguttering flame on the torch he carried, and started having him over for supper and to look at old family snapshots, telling what she remembered of young Farnese the explorer and the reports she'd come back with about rivers that weren't supposed to be where she found them, and of the lights on the far banks, and the many voices, hundreds it seemed, not exactly partying, nor exactly belligerent either. Boulders too heavy for anyone but Bigfoot to lift come thudding all around her in the middle of the night, torrents of summer-run steelhead the size of dogs, glowing more than glittering, abandoned logging sites, boilers and stacks and flange gears looming up out of the blackberries, and the strange lost town of Shade Creek, supposedly evacuated in a flood of long ago, now unaccountably repopulated with villagers who never seemed to sleep. It was those Thanatoids, of course, said Claire. They were just beginning to move into the county then, and if it scared her at all, being up there amid so much human unhappiness, why, she never mentioned it. Since the end of the war in Vietnam, the Thanatoid population had been growing steeply, so there was always day work out at Thanatoid Village, a shopping and residential complex a few miles further into the hills above Shade Creek. Shape-ups were held in the pre-dawn down by the Vineland Courthouse, shadowy brown buses idling in the dark, work and wages posted silently in the windows. Some mornings Zoid had gone down, climbed on, ridden out with other newcomers, all cherry to the labor market up here. Former artists or spiritual pilgrims now becoming choker setters, waiters and waitresses, baggers and checkout clerks, tree workers, truck drivers and framers are taking temporary swamping jobs like this, all in the service of others, the ones who did the building, selling, buying, and speculating. First thing new hires all found out was that their hair kept getting in the way of work. Some cut it short, some tied it back, or slicked it behind their ears in a kind of question mark shape. Their once ethereal girlfriends were bussing dishes or cocktail waitressing, or attending the muscles of weary loggers over at the Shangri-La Sauna, Vineland County's finest. Some chose to take the noon southbound back home, others kept plugging on at night school or Vineland Community College or Humboldt State, or going to work for the various federal, state, county, church, and private charitable agencies that were the biggest employers up here next to the timber companies. Many would be the former tripping partners and old flames who came over the years to deal with each other this way across desktops or through computer terminals, as if chosen in secret and sorted into opposing teams. After a while, Zoid was allowed in the Traverse Becker annual reunions as long as he brought Prairie, who at about the age of 3 or 4 got sick one violent winter and looked up at him with dull, hot eyes, snot crusted on her face, hair in a snarl, and croaked, "Dad, am I ever gonna get better?" pronouncing it like Mr. Spock, and he had his belated moment of welcome to the planet Earth, in which he knew dismayingly that he would have to do anything to keep this dear small life from harm, up to and including Brock Vond, a possibility he wasn't too happy with. But as he watched her then, year by year, among these reunion faces, her own was growing more and more to look like, continuing to feel no least premonitory sign of governmental interest from over the horizon, beyond the mental disability checks that arrive faithfully as the moon. He at last began, even out scuffling every day, to relax some, to understand that this had been the place to bring her and himself after all, that for the few years anyway, he must have chosen right for a change. The time they'd come through the slides and storms to put in here, to harbor in Vineland, Vineland the good.